Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back to the Criminal Connection podcast. Today, we've got a Manchester legend. He is an undefeated bare-knuckle boxing champion. Please put your hands together for Dougie Joyce.
One and
only.
Woo!
Nice to meet you again, Terry.
I just want to say, Terry Stone loves you.
And Terry, just remember, Dougie Joyce always loves you too.
But no, thanks for coming on, Dougie.
Yeah, of course.
We've been friends for a while. But I just think your story is remarkable.
Yeah.
I know you made a documentary, but I think there's got to be a movie. There's got to be a movie.
There's got to be something in there.
There's got to be a movie.
There's got to be something. Well, I'm sure you're the man for that there, Terry. You know, pull a few strings.
So just really going right back, because a lot of the listeners and viewers will know who Dougie Joyce is.
Yeah.
For those that don't, it'd be great to literally just delve into when you grew up, where you grew up, and what your childhood was like.
Starting from a childhood, let's say, from rags to riches, if that's a nice way of putting it. Grew up, as I say, a travel man myself, up and down in the trailers from side to side, from road to road, and then back onto a council estate, living in the houses on the estates with my family. So growing up was all around Manchester based. Right. So originally, I've always, my full family, my father's family, all from Longside, the Anton estate. Brinton Road, number 54. Jesus, man, that's bringing back some memories. grew up there as a little boy, and then that was it. Then we was always travelling and then staying, travelling. It was always back and forth, so it was always when we were out on the road and then we're back in. And then we ended up settling down in Openshaw. And that's when the Joyce brothers grew up to be what we are.
So when did you start actually fighting? Because one of my pals, Les Stevens, used to run Palmer Star Boxing Club.
Yeah.
And when I went down there when I was a kid to box, there was literally, I mean, I went when I was about 16, but there was like 4 and 5 year old kids been put in that ring and then bashing the fuck out of each other. I mean, was that your experience?
That's the way we learnt. Me growing up, I'd be, say, on a site up on the side of the road, doesn't matter where it is, get out there and fight. You know what I mean? It was brought up like, no fear, unless you want to go back to the trailer and get a wrap of a broomstick on top of your head.
Was that bare knuckle or was that
Gloves? Bare knuckle. That was bare knuckle growing up as a kid. So I was always reared up like the tough way. And like I say, I wouldn't change anything about my life because it's made me the man I am. So that's why, like, I'm never shy of a fight. Never bothered about a fight and think, you want to fight? Come on, it's another workout. Do you know what I mean? Good exercise for the brain, mainly.
Yeah.
But just growing up as a child, and then my father got us into the boxing. So I was always in and out of the boxing clubs. And then, just always learning from different boxers, trainers, and we was always on the move. And then we settled down in Lumpenshire. And then I started to really learn how to box in a Bob Challenge gym. Right. Which a good friend that we've known the man for many, many years.
Did you actually have an amateur career, Dougie? Was you fighting amateur?
Yeah, a box amateur. I boxed in the ABAs, schoolboys. Done that there, so I've got experience of amateur behind me. Done plenty of that.
Did you turn pro or not?
As I was turning pro, let's say, family again, problems. I was literally on the brink of turning pro. I was doing plenty of sparring. I got my fights on sparring on the YouTube. I sparred with plenty of good boxers, plenty of professional boxers, Denton Fazell, all the kind of boxers in Bob Shannon's gym. They were the champions at the time. So I was on the brink, I was on the turnover, and then he ended up getting jail again for, obviously, family problems and getting involved with the wrong crowd again. Right. And I wish, if I could turn back the clock, I just would have sticked at it because that was my heart and soul, and that was my dedication. I used to be there every day, training every day, twice a day, going to all these events, going to the boxing. It was just my heart and soul, and then I was just always getting dragged away. Right. Dragged away, yeah.
And what was the first time you got in trouble with the law?
Fighting.
Oh, right.
And you surprised? it's always a fight. Yeah.
So do you think just because your upbringing where you was actually doing bare knuckle fighting and you was just going around, you know, having these rows with people, when you actually went out, you found that people wanted to...
Yeah, like the more I went out and said, then I was getting handy with my hands and then... someone would want to fight or a family member would have an argument and then they'd ring me, I turn up, and then that's it. I just laid them out, I'd have a fight with them, and then I was just too good and strong for them. But I had no fear in me. I'd turn up, let's say I've turned up into sites with my uncles, my brother's gone in, had a fight. Next day, the other brother wants to fight me, gone in, flattened him as well. Paddy Doherty's been a referee in a few of my fights a few times.
He was in the Advisor the Foot Soldier movie.
Yeah,
he popped up in one. How do you know him then?
How do I know him? Well, we go back a while. Right. We used to be mates once upon a time.
Right.
Until he turned jackal, turned into something that he was always something that he wasn't anyway. Right. A load of gas in there. So things, like say, he always liked to have his control over the family. He used to be the man, but Paddy could never fight, to be honest with you. He was never a fighting man. He'd have the argument, he'd have the shout, and he'd stick his chest out and this, that, and the other. But you'd show me one fight that he's ever had on the internet, one video or ever seen Paddy fight, never. The only fight I think he's had proper is with my brother. And my brother's given it to him both times.
Right.
Yeah, and then he obviously turned the other way. Obviously, he must have hurt his pride. And we got my brother locked up. Caught twice. Bust the first case. Second time, fighting with him again. That's when he ripped his ear off at the traffic lights.
And, your brother?
My brother ripped his ear off, wow. Yeah, at the traffic light. Must have been a bit hungry at the time.
did he buy it off? Or?
He bit it clean off, yeah.
Wow.
It was hanging down like a little earring. A piece of skin just dangling. I was the one recording it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were the cameraman.
I was the cameraman. You do it there, Johnny. But he just obviously didn't take a liking to us, and we were just our own men. Stay on the good side of us, treat us with respect, we treat you the same.
Right.
He just thought he was a jacked lad, and that's what happens to people like that there. But yeah, full on.
You get your ear bitten off.
You get your ear bitten off. Well, the first beating he got, yeah, he was in a bad way, lip ripped in half, his jaw broken in 8 places,
wow.
Eye sockets fractured. And he's got pictures there holding up with the GMP police underneath it. Yeah, so which I'll show you them anyways. But yeah, like I say, he's a full-on police informant. And then the second time, obviously, the trouble's been going on since 2010.
Wow.
Still now, to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll never talk to them people again. But second time, he's out there doing a little bit of jogging. We're at the traffic lights. Hey, buddy, what's the crack?
does he just drive off now, or does he sort of engage?
Oh, man, listen, if I was able to drive off, I wouldn't. He's an old man now. Like, we're not even bothered about him.
Right.
He's just a husband. He's just doing what he's doing. Best thing for him to do is get on with his life.
Right.
But anyway, he was jogging. And obviously, I just can't help myself. What's happening, there's a buddy? What's the crack? you dirty bastard. You, I can't hear you. Come over here. Come a bit closer. He come a bit closer, and that's when he got the bait. And then they were both fighting. Both ended up on the floor. And then my brother ripped his ear off.
Wow.
And that's it. Got my brother jail again. Got me jail as well. I was only a cameraman.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was...
What was the charge? Yeah, filming an air biting incident.
Yeah, fixing something like that there, yeah. Filming without his permission.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so something like that. Right. But yeah, that was the story of Paddy. But apart from that, he's not a bad old fella.
Right.
He's good old crack for the TV, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he was, because I think, was he on Big Brother? Was that?
Yeah, he was on there, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, my favourite scene on the Big Brother of Paddy, yeah, is the one where he's going around in the dog suit. He was going, and his tongue hanging out, and he's on all fours. Oh, I tell you what, man, the man's so crack.
The thing is, though, I think when you put yourself on those types of shows,
yeah,
I mean, some of the things they get you to do is
it's ridiculous, yeah. It shows you do anything for a bit of money, wouldn't you? Oh, mate.
Obviously, with the bare knuckle boxing, did you keep track of how many fights you've actually had or not?
I've had that many fights, Harry, I couldn't even tell you.
Right.
I've definitely had over 100 fights, easy. Right. Obviously, I've had plenty of fights with my own breed, my own family, friends of friends, and just stay at them hands. They've got a few stories on them anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And the bare knuckle fights, out of all the people you fought, was there one or two people that you thought, fuck me, that geezer's game, and I actually give you a good run?
One of the best fights I've had in my life, yeah? One of the best fights I had in my life was Peter Fury, believe it or not, back in his time, do you know what I mean? He was a strong fella, still is a strong fella. One I fought him, that was back in 2010.
Wow.
We fought for 2 hours and 11 minutes. Peter Fury was, he's cousin Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
He was refereeing the fight. He was on his father's place. We ended up having a fight. The puddles of mud on the floor was red with blood. And now that was a proper fight. Not like the last fight I had with Paddy's little cousin there that was already. I mean, he wants to pick a football pitch. Fight, fucking jab and move. This was a close banging fight, knocking the snot of blood out of each other.
Wow. Yeah. So 2 hours and 10 minutes?
Yeah, that's a proper fight.
How'd you fight for that long?
I don't know. It's either the heart, the fitness, or just won't give in.
Wow.
But yeah, we both had a good fight and we got at the end of it, we ended up shaking hands and called it a draw.
How'd you even train for something like that?
I don't know, it's just in you. Like, you just keep yourself fit all year round.
I mean, is it a bit like being a pro boxer, or is there any different things you do? Like, someone said to me, a martial arts guy said, and this sounds mad, but he said that he gets his students, like, punching trees to toughen all the hands up.
No, I don't punch trees and all that.
Right. You'd rather punch people.
Yeah, I'd rather punch people, definitely. Try and keep whatever I've got left of the hands.
Right.
But yeah, that was a proper fight. That was probably one of the best fights I've had in my life. I've had loads of good fights,
right.
Loads of good knockouts and fights to like talk about, but I'm on about like for a nitty gritty, full on sweaty, bloody fight.
Is there video footage of that?
There is a video, yeah, but obviously respect on both sides, they won't release it.
That's fair enough.
But yeah, the thing is obviously they've got the video and it was plenty of them recorded on the day, and I'm not even bothered if they wanted to put it out, they could put it out. It was a great video.
Any reason
it would be a great video,
anyway. Any reason I think people would pay to watch that. I
mean, oh, definitely,
2 hours and 10 minutes. Well, it's a movie in itself.
Whoever's got it there, I think, to save it up now to see how far they get and what it's worth.
Obviously, your family, there's. I mean, do you want to run through, the Joyce family? And obviously, there's the association with the Gooch Gang in Manchester as well. So it'd be just good to understand how that will come about. And
well, the family depends. What do you want to know? Do you want to know about my father's side of the family, which that is the Gooch and them? Well, my father, he has brothers and sisters. His father himself, me grandfather, Davy Joyce, he was like known as like a godfather down there alongside, do you know what I mean? His nephew, which is Colin David Joyce, one of the main men, the leader of the Gooch, him and Cabo at the time, they both ended up getting 39 years each in jail. But I'll break it down for you so you understand. Piggy, which is David Colin Joyce, his mother is my father's the brother and sister. So it's my father's nephew, my first cousin. So that's how close we are. He's the first one we call one of the Black Joyces.
Right.
He's definitely one of the Black Joyces, isn't he? But Colin David Joyce, cousin of mine. that's what I mean, reared up around alongside Arlie Life, and nice fella, very nice fella. But now he's in there serving the rest of his life in jail.
Wow.
Yeah, but obviously he's a well-known man, and he's an icon to the boys and the younger generation in the Gooch and Manchester.
Will he get out or not?
Well, he is going, from what I know anyway. I think he's going for another appeal. He hasn't put his appeal in yet, but hopefully he gets it and he's back out in the streets.
Yeah. And then on your side of the family, was obviously the sort of criminal side, the Gooch
side. Yeah.
And then on your side, was that just like a traditional sort of travelling family?
Well, from mother's side, they're the ones that I only argue and fight, and it's that they have my father's side of the family. I've never had one argument with them. Never one argument, never one problem, never know nothing. Yeah? That tells you something, honest. My mother's side of the family, there's always arguing, there's always killing each other, there's always this, that, and the other. There's just who's got this and who's got that better. And the thing is, I just took myself away from the whole lot of them. If one of them's got a problem, they want a problem with me, ring up my number and meet up with me and come and have a fight with me. Apart from that, I'm too busy getting on with my own wife and children, my own family. I just don't need the bullshit. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just take myself back away from all that, and the best of luck to them. Yeah. But all the drama in your life is no good. How can you get out and earn a few quid for yourself? Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
So the best thing for me is, like, you know, peace, love and harmony.
I love that. That was a song. Peace, yeah. Love, harmony.
It's the way forward.
so with the various stints that you've had in prison, what how many times have you actually been in prison?
Been in times, I think about three, four times.
Right.
Yeah. Previously been up and down. I've been in probably about 8 different prisons up and down the whole country. Me and my brother ended up getting shipped to the Isle of Sheppey together, security moved, right, to HMP Swaleside.
Right.
Yeah, and that was for fighting again.
Yeah. What's been your favourite prison?
My favourite prison? Do you know what?
Out of all of them.
It all sounds bad, yeah, but there's no place like home, is there?
Right, that is true.
Manchester ground. As soon as you see them Manchester signs and you're coming back on that sweatbox, just being sat there for 8 hours on the sweatbox and your arse is broke. Right. As soon as you see them signs coming straight back in the Forest Bank, it feels like home then.
Right. Yeah. Have you done many runs with John Fury?
Rivalries.
No, just in general, because you mentioned you had the fight with Peter, but I didn't know.
I get up. John Fury's a gentleman. I get on with John. Yeah. I met John plenty of times. I get on with him and his sons, all gentlemen. Do you know what I mean? Top class people.
Yeah.
Let's say I met John numbers of times. I even met him in jail. Right. Met him as a stranger. It was that time when I got remanded for a paddy. Right. Me and my brother. I ended up getting out on a JC, but John, I met him in there. Had to crack with him inside the library. And then I came in with a... Do you know what? There's one good thing. It was funny. Yeah, so John's in there doing his thing, reading his books. So I come in, and I was with a fella called Simon Doherty. Simon Doherty. So anyway, I never knew his nickname. Yeah. John let me know his nickname, and then I couldn't stop laughing all the way back to the wing. So I've come in, and he went, what's happening, Dougie? He said, you all right, John? What's happening? He said, Dougie, get over on my wing. Get over here, do some training with me, and we'll get stuck into it. He was on B wing, or B1, B2, or something like that there. So I said, yeah, no problem, John. I said, I'll get over there and I'll do a bit of training with you. So anyways, he said, what are you doing with duck sprains? So I said, who's duck sprains? He said, him there. He looks like, he's like, you ever seen that little John, what's that, like the Vickers? Bit of hair going around, pure ball here. Yeah, and I just couldn't stop laughing, couldn't get out of my head. Right. It's just like real serious though, the way he pointed, what's happening, duck sprains? but yeah, he's a nice man, John. Every time I see John, I've got nothing but respect for him.
Whereabouts in Ireland with the family originally?
Who's?
Your family.
My family. My family's all over the place. I'm originally from Manchester myself.
Right.
And my mother's people, back into it, my father's people, they're back over from Ireland itself. Right. So I like to scatter it all over the place.
Yeah. Right. And your documentary, obviously it was in the top 5 on Amazon.
Number one.
It was...
That one, boy.
I saw it in the top 5, but yeah. Only after we'd met and you said, oh, we've got a documentary, I saw it and it was...
It hit number one after 24 hours.
Wow.
24 hours, yeah.
So if you haven't seen that, make sure you get that Joyous Family documentary on Amazon. Yeah.
Well, it's not bad for a bit of an achievement. Do you know what I mean? I didn't expect that. I was just wanting to
get
it out
there. Did you make that yourself, or did you bring
There was someone that was I was working with called Tony Gooch, and he was doing all the talking, documenting, and getting things put together. It was just like something that went on for a bit, and they wanted to do it. Obviously, it worked out good in the end.
Right.
We ended up going to an awards place, and we got like best award for documentary of the year as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we got that. But yeah, it went well.
Did you find that got you a lot of
publicity?
Yeah, and obviously when you was out and about, people were like, oh, there's Dougie Joyce. Like when you weren't in Manchester, when you was out and about.
Yeah, it's just like it's spreading. It's like I say, it's getting bigger now, all the bits of things I'm doing. But everyone's talking about it now because it's on everyone's screens. You can just click on, click, why, go on and straight onto it.
And what did you, with the, that film, I know it's come out in the UK. Has it gone out anywhere else in the world or is it just UK at the moment?
I think it's been spreading now. I think it's going to Ireland. It was supposed to be getting gateways opened up to be like America and all that kind of stuff. So to be honest with you, I've not even checked up on it.
Right, okay.
Been too wrapped up, but I will be checking up on that to see where it's at.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll be owed a few quid, eh?
Yeah. So when you was in jail, did you play any card games?
Yeah, I was playing poker.
Poker.
So this is when I got security moved to, I know this full story. So got security moved to Swaleside in the Isle of Sheppey. So me and my brothers in there, we got padded up together, doing a few things, going from wing to wing. And just being us, do you know what I mean? It was just like we're in a big foreign jail there. It's like in the middle of nowhere in a little island.
Right.
But end up playing poker with the boys, getting to know a few of the lads, a few scouts, there's plenty of Muslims in there, do you know what I mean? They all stick together. And one of my mates that was in there, Wes Brown. Yeah, what's up? Get on with him. He's in Forest Bank at the minute. Shout out to Wes as well.
What, Wes?
Yeah. All right, Wes. But yeah, playing poker. And everyone puts like packets of, what do you call it, like... tobacco in,
right.
You get like an ounce of tobacco and half of that, whatever you can afford, you're in the game. So me being a non-smoker, I thought, come on, I'm having it going, I'm going in, and everyone takes it to heart. I'm just playing and going, good, all in. And I'm winning his, knocking him out of the game. So then I'm getting into this now, I'm getting a bit serious. So there's one other fella there, he was a Muslim lad, but a bit of a cocky fella, do you know what I mean? Like a chip on his shoulder. And he's taking it to heart. I don't know if it was his last pack of the burn on us. But anyway, he was getting a bit hot-heated for himself. So it was just me and him left in the finals, me, him and a few other fellas, and then it broke down to me and him. And then there was about, basically the full wing of Byrne was on this table.
Right.
Yeah. So I said, do you want to see how big your balls are? Yeah. He said, go on. I said, come on, all in. He went, I've got your beat, bro. Yeah, like that. I said, have you? Go on then, bro. Got in, all in. Yeah, I won and cleared out the whole thing. So I've got one of my pad mates putting all the bags in there.
Anybody wanting any tobacco,
so I get it all into the wash basket, let him fast, yeah. And then this fella starts kicking off, calling names and this, that and the other. So I'm looking at him now, yeah, and I'm seeing he's coming closer because these fellas are known for the little shivs and all that kind of stuff. I've just flipped the poker table up on top of him, yeah, like that, move to the side, you get into the pad. So anyways, we had a few words and Wes Brown and one of his other mates got us, they were like two referees in the middle. His mate and my mate. Yeah, so that's the way it was. We went into the pad, gone into the pad, and he stood there. It's like he's all ready with his little self. Yeah? So he closed the door behind us because these pads are only small, by the way.
He didn't realise he was going to get the Danny Joyce experience.
So as soon as I got in, he stood there a little bit. I've just hit him with a straight right, flattened him. Yeah, that was him done. And he didn't want to know then. So that's it. I thought, I'm not a bully. I'm not going to overdo things. So we've left it now. So Wes is in the pad. He's in the pad. And this fella just stuck something straight into the side of me, yeah. Yeah, like that, like something sharp, and the blood was coming down me. As he stuck it in, I felt it. I've just gave it to him. Both of them has run out the pad because that's when it's got dirty then. Yeah, and I've just knocked the tons of shit out, and it was claret everywhere all over the pad. I just wouldn't stop giving it to him inside of there until I knew I'd done him good and proper. So then, anyway, there was blood all over the place. Yeah, and then I thought, yeah, I'm not walking out of this pad and get myself a nicking. Right. Yeah, so I took his flip flops, took my clothes off, yeah, and put his towel around me. But I'm holding me because obviously I'm bleeding here. Right. Yeah, so I've got the towel on here, walking with the flip-flops to the shower like this. So anyways, cut a story short, this fellow was in a bad way.
Right.
So his mates had to go and help him to go and clean up the pad and everything. So one day goes past 2, 3. The screw goes, why are you not coming out for your food? But obviously this fellow had a pair of lips on him like this. Right. Yeah. So when they come, he said, what's up with you? Yeah. He said, what's up with your lips? I said, have you been in an altercation? You've been fighting? He said, no, I'm allergic to nuts, bro. But fair play to him. We never said nothing. Yeah. And after that, obviously, the boys got us back together and we ended up coming mates then.
Right.
Yeah. But we couldn't gamble no more because
that was a bad loser.
Yeah, we just shook, bad loser. We shook hands and we ended up coming mates after that day.
The moral of the story is do not stab Juggy Joyce.
Yeah. With a paper clip. I don't know what it was. It was something sharp anyway. Tell you what, the little bastard got me good, though.
Right.
Side of the face, yeah.
Fucking hell. I mean, that's the
dangerous little bastards.
A lot of people now, that is their.
Yeah.
Sure, a lot of people do carry blades now, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, loads of that stuff. I can tell you loads of details, but I won't. I'll keep you here all night with them.
Well, give us a couple more, Dougie. Is we might as well because our readers, our listeners, and our viewers, you know, I'd assume a lot of them probably haven't been in jail.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, you know, jail tales always. I mean, that's a great story about the poker game.
Well, there was another time. Then we ended up getting kicked off the wing. Me and my brother, when we was in that same jail again. So we got kicked off. It's like house block one, house block two. They go, that's what they call them, house blocks. So we get kicked on to house block two. So this is like the Mardi's wings. As you go in, it's like a billet. Yeah, but it's just a big, massive landing. And then you got your little, you got your landings on each side. And there's only like a few phones at the end, but it's just, it's all compact. You know what I mean? It's like being on a billet itself. So me and my brother goes in, two traveling fellas.
Right.
I mean, like two aliens out of space walking to this place, yeah? And you can see them all whispering and they're all looking this stuff. Yeah, but I end up getting on with a few fellas. I end up meeting one of my good mates that I'm very good mates with now. Yeah, Joey Simpson in there. Yeah. Shout out to Joey Simpson as well.
Joey!
I met him in there and I've been best of mates with him for years now, many, many years. Probably about 11 years, I think it is.
Right.
So anyways, it kicked off on there again with me and my brother. And this screw was being funny, whatever happened anyway. Yeah, I won't go into too much. But anyway, whatever happened, this screw come up with a big chip on his shoulder. So he's come home and getting to the pad. I said, we're not going to no pad. So everyone's been banged up now. Yeah, and then we're still outside the pad. I said, no, not until he talks to us nicely, with a bit of respect. And he's being all aggressive with himself, all aggressive. So I said, I nudged Johnny. I said, come on, Johnny, let's just go into the pad. Yeah. So anyway, as we got into the pad, yeah, Johnny's put his foot on the door like this. No, so he can't like put the key in and pull the door back out. Yeah. So I'm stood in there from I'm gonna give it to him. Let's just get him into the pad first, yeah. So he's got the key in the door and he's trying to pull the key, and obviously he's got there. Grabbed a hold of him, Johnny's grabbed a hold of him by the tie and ripped him in, yeah. Give him a few hard slaps, what pull him in with the tie, choking him inside the pad. Yeah. And obviously the screams that's going out of the pad and they press a buzzer, they've all come up, but we've let him go then. We've let him go. So I said, what's up with you? You not have a laugh, our kid. Yeah. That was it. We ended up getting kicked out of that one. We got kicked out of house block two, foreign national wing. Oh, mate, they were shipping as well. We put us on a wing where we couldn't, no one was speaking English.
Right.
And on the highest floor, yeah, on a three-man pad, yeah, well, oh, listen, the conditions was ridiculous. It was bad. We didn't last longer there. We ended up getting on good with a screw, and that's when they put us back over there and sent Johnny back to Strange Ways.
Right.
Not off Horse Bank it was. And then that was it. I was only there for about another, say, about 3 months after that, and then I got shipped back to Horse Bank then.
Right.
But yeah, that was another funny story with the screw.
What's the craziest thing you've seen in the jail?
Craziest thing I've seen in the jail. I've seen people get stabbed, throat slit inside there. People getting jibbed up and not even knowing they've been jibbed up inside there. I've seen a lot of nasty things, even people doing it to themselves.
Really?
Literally, yeah, slicing their own. Like my brother Tom, he was in jail, and this fella must have been a self-harmer or whatever he was. And when you're all banged up, you've only got like a night guard, but he don't even have a key to open the door, which I don't think it's safe at all. Do you know what I mean? Because you're pressing the buzzer, then you've got to ring for the security's got to come through and then come in. So I don't know what this fellow was going through, but my brother Tom must have been traumatised when he's saying this. But anyway, just rang up like normal. Yeah, you never believe what happened in there. He got up, because he wouldn't answer him, I think he wanted healthcare or whatever, slit his full throat inside the pub with my brother Tom. Blood just squirting everywhere. So
did he die or was
no,
he?
No, he never died.
Fucking hell.
Slit his throat though, yeah. Shows you though how dangerous it can be. And then I think he was bleeding out for a good... Must be a good 5 minutes.
I suppose the only good thing about that is he slit.
Tom saved his life holding his neck back together.
But I suppose it's good that he slit his own throat, not
Tom's
throat when he's asleep.
But it shows you if you're going to do like things like that, you can't be in a pub with someone like that because you're being asleep and then someone tries cutting you or stabbing you.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's scary. You wouldn't sleep. Yeah. I bet he was like that every time. Don't go to sleep.
After that, Tom got a single man pass.
Yeah.
He said, I'm never getting padded up again.
Yeah, fuck that.
But yeah.
And then when you was in jail, did you ever come across any nonces?
Nonces? No. I'll tell you what happened. I was in a HMP all course. So me being on there on the number ones, like with the servery, cleaning, all that kind of stuff, there's like there's a group of us. So we get to stay out having a game of snooker, doing what we're doing.
Is that because you've got privileges?
Yeah, we got the privileges. Yeah, we're like advanced.
It's a bit like Goodfellas. You can do your own food. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, yeah. Once I was in there, I'll tell you another story. And then I feel like you made me remember something else. But these nonces used to go out at 5 a.m. Yeah. And this is how mad it is in the jail. He was on the same wing because the induction wing we were on, everyone's got to come through there.
Because the reason I ask, because someone talked to me about this the other day, and they said normally they have like a nonce wing, they kind of keep them together.
But that's where people go on for protection. So if they're in debt or they've done something wrong or they're in for the wrong reason, they put themselves in protection. And when they go on protection, they're on the nonce wing. with a load of legit nonsense. So on our wing, they'd be set up. We don't get to see them or speak to them. 5 o'clock in the morning, they're out. Our doors get open at 7. So they're 2 hours ahead. And then they come back in, I think, about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And then we've got to stand behind the door, de-lock it, and then let them in for their own safety. That's the way they'd always protect them, keep them safe. But the nonsense would be doing the food. Yeah, what's the nonsense would be doing all your laundry. They're locked away on their own little building things.
Right.
And obviously all your bedding, all your sheets and everything's getting washed and all that there. The nonsense are doing it all.
So I suppose you have to be nice.
Even
to
the nonsense
them.
Are in the kitchen, I'm telling you. It's just, I'm telling you, listen, the system is, it's fucked, it's corrupt. And the way they do it, they show them more privileges than a normal prisoner.
Wow.
Yeah. So no wonder the prisoners get upset with them and give it to them. They're going to give it to them anyway.
Yeah, because I know there was a... I read a story about... and I don't know if it was a newspaper or it was in a book, but there was a thing where people used to... they get points for doing stuff to the Nazis. So
yeah,
they'd actually... and they wouldn't mind actually, you know, getting in trouble because they wanted to...
Well, mainly that's like the fellas that's got nothing to lose or like smackheads in there. Do you know what I mean? To do something for a spice of sheet. Do you know what I mean? Because they do like the sheets on paper with a bit of spice. You can get things done to anybody in there for what? A couple of smokes or anything. So yeah, a bit of spice to do anything inside that jail.
I mean, that stuff. I mean, I've never ever understood why anybody would want to take it.
Do you know what?
It's fucking crazy.
When we're bored inside the jail and you see these, they're wanting it, do you know what I mean? And they're like a proper addict dying for it. So like, obviously, I know a few of the lads that they'll be doing what they're doing inside there. And they go, what's this? One of our laugh lads. So they'll give it to them. They'll give them like a big giant load of spice inside of it. And then obviously some of these fellas, by the way, like they pass out, they get sick and they shit themselves and everything. So when they give it to them, they start taking like a weird like kind of fit and they'll be holding onto the railings like they're going to fall off the end of the Titanic.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They go all weird and you see someone turn into a chicken. I'm telling you, listen, it's fucking bad.
Because somebody sent me a video and this must have been about, when it first came out, this thing where it was, yeah. They said this is fucked up, and it was actually in a jail cell where somebody was doing that.
Yeah,
and I think they must have had some of that whether it's spice.
Yeah, they do. Like it does, it fucks them up. Do you know what I mean? It kills a lot of people as well.
Right,
it's a nasty drug, and people just get it on a piece of paper and they spray it on,
right.
Send it in, and then that's it. Smoking a piece of paper. Terry, listen, it's mad. I'm telling you the things that happen in them jails these days now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's madness.
Is it because someone said to me also that there's like in the old days it was proper like. Prison time, but now you've obviously got PlayStations, there's TVs.
No, it's not even jail. Like when I was in there, like it was just PlayStation, you got your PlayStation there, your DVD player. Do you know what I mean? You just get all your home comforts in. And that's it. Obviously you get a few extras.
Right.
I mean, to make yourself feel comfortable, but yeah, you do be all right.
But what was the story you was gonna I reminded you of when we were talking earlier?
The food. So I was always good for food, me. I love my food. I'm never going to starve anyway for anyone when I'm in there.
I'm actually, do you know what I'm saying? That's what we get on so well. We both live our life by food.
Yeah, that's what's got to be the food. I love your good food. And the best food you get in there is when the Muslims are going through the time. Is it, what's it called again?
Ramadan.
Ramadan, yeah. So me, I turn into the Ramadan then. So when I'm in there, yeah, they call me Brother Joyce.
Dagger Joyce, yeah. The Ramadan man.
Brother Joyce, I'm telling you, that's it. Come around with my big beard on. Sitting there having me curry with the lads because I get on with a whole lot of them. I got a lot of friends. Run around Manchester, I get on with a lot of them. Yeah. So they come in with the big yellow boxes, food all freshly done.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the best food you get. So coming in there with me naan bread, everything, me proper Madras curry. I mean, the bollocks of food. Yeah. So that's the best food you get in there anyway. So that was the food story.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. and obviously, you know, you always refer to yourself as a family man.
Yeah.
So there's you and your missus and how many children?
Three girls.
Three girls.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully another one on the way, I hope. Great boy this time.
It's funny because when I had my children, I always wanted to have a boy.
Yeah.
And we were blessed with a boy. But then when I actually had a girl, it's weird because the girls love the dads.
The love that you get from your daughters, like I never experienced it because I've got four sons myself.
Right.
Yeah, I don't get to see them at the moment.
Right.
But obviously, the door's always open for them. If I ever do get to see them again, I love my little boys. I've done everything in the world that I can for them. Yeah.
So you've got seven in total?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So like I say, I don't get to see them. And I'm always here for them, no matter what. So whatever stories they'll hear, whatever stories they want, I'm thinking, I don't know how to approach my father. They're at that age now. Do you know what I mean? My oldest is coming 13 years of age. He's going to be a teenager in January. So, like I say, I just want to always know that I love them. I'm always there for them. And no matter what, the door's always open for them. And I'll never give up on them. Never turn me back.
If you have one more girl, then you've got 4 and 4.
Yeah, 4 and 4. Yeah. I reckon it'd be a boy this time. Yeah. I don't mind if it's another girl, though.
Yeah. Girls and boys, I mean,
I love my little girls. My little girls is latched onto me. I love them. My Oceana is just something else. She's just daddy through and through. Forget about the mommy, daddy. Yeah. So we'll see what Louisiana's like.
Yeah.
She'll be daddy's girl as well. Yeah.
So what's how old's your youngest?
My youngest is 6 weeks now, is it Ollie?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Wow, 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks, yeah.
6 weeks. Do you know something? I don't know how you found it with babies, but I always found that first year is tough because, you know, when we had our first kid,
yeah,
obviously nobody gives you a fucking manual on how to look after a kid, you know what I mean?
Well, I do got to say, my wife is the best mother to my children. Yeah, I kind of picked a better wife to her. My children always come first. Even before me, I get jealous sometimes, you know what I mean? Get the food on, woman, get her ready. Yeah, but no, she does. Credit to her, she looks after my children good and proper.
What's your wife's name?
I forgot what her name is. She's over there, look.
She's got a good... Holly's got a good business as well in Manchester.
Oh, she has. So everybody subscribe and look out for Dakota Aesthetics. Yeah. I nearly fucked up there. But yeah, Dakota Aesthetics.
Do you know, sir, every time I see you, Dougie, you're looking younger and younger. And I was actually going to say to you at that film premiere the other day.
You're putting the heat on me now.
What's going on, Dougie? You're like Benjamin Button.
I'll tell you what happens. Listen, I look after myself, go for a good gym session, TLC, good steam room, good sauna, fruit product, no, a bit of cream.
You've got good food. Yeah, all of you, lay. All of you, lay.
It's making me look younger, so. Yeah. I'm glad you noticed that, Terry. Do you know what? I said the same about you when you walked in. Do you know what I mean? You must be taking the same
but
stuff.
But that's why Terry Stone loves you.
You haven't got anything over there, Terry. I can't see any wrinkles on Terry.
No, there's no wrinkles. Well, I'm wrinkle-free. I haven't been to see Dakota Aesthetics yet, but when I'm in Manchester, I will definitely pop by.
You'll have to pop by. Listen, come by and she'll look after you. She'll give you a great deal.
Make me look young.
Oh, she will, I'm telling you.
You know, obviously, you know, throughout your sort of time in Manchester, have you found, you know, that you've been dragged into a lot of things that weren't really anything to do with you?
Like I always get dragged into a lot of things. People use my name a lot. It's always a family situation. Always. I've got 7 brothers. Yeah. Right. Well, 7 including myself.
Keep you busy.
Yeah, they definitely keep me busy. But there's always something going on I get dragged into and this, that, and the other. And I'm always, like I say, I'm a family man. I love my family. I'll always be there for my family. Family first all the time for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then if it's not that, I'd be friends. And then I'd be a friend of a friend. Then he said this, then he said that. And mainly, like most of the cases, I'm a peacemaker. I'm in there like making peace with everybody and sorting things out. So yeah, I do have a lot of very busy in Manchester.
Yeah. Obviously you set up this 3D Fight Club. How did that come about?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was sat there one day inside the gym and I'm watching these people on the phone and I'm thinking, these fighting, he's having a little bit of a fight here and tear up and they're going to a field. And I'm thinking, I do fight myself. I like the game. Why don't I set something else up for everybody in Manchester to use as a platform? And if they want to sort the differences out, they can come down and do it. Mm-hmm. And then since I've done it, do you know what I mean? I've done number 1, I'm on number 5 now. It's just growing, it's getting bigger and bigger as it's going, and believe it or not, it's turned out a great success.
So just for people that are listening or watching, it's in like an octagon, right?
An octagon, yeah.
And it's bare knuckle?
Bare knuckle. It's mixed K1, MMA, bare knuckle as well, so it could be MMA, but MMA, bare knuckle.
So on the night, it's a bit of everything. So
yeah,
you have a bare knuckle
boxing,
fight.
Boxing gloves on as well, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what are the rules on the bare knuckle? Because again, I know BKB, 3D Fight Club, there's all these people now doing, you know, essentially licensed shows in that arena. What are the actual rules? I mean, is it? Can you elbow? Can you?
No, like I say, it's whatever category you're in. So whatever fight you're fighting, if you're fighting bare knuckle, it's just stand up bare knuckle. Right. If you're fighting with the gloves on, stand up bare with the box.
Can you use elbows and head or not? Or is that not allowed?
No, no, no.
Right, okay,
no.
So it's just literally the knuckles.
Depends, like I say, if you're fighting and you're doing your MMA, bare knuckle, all that kind of stuff. So whatever rules get set in place, that's the rules of the fight that you're going to have. So this next show, there'll be a mix of all that again.
Right,
amazing. So it'll be good.
I'm actually looking forward to it because I missed the last one. But
Well, we're going to make you the main star this time now, Terry. The red car for the
I'm not getting in the octagon.
We'll have Terry on the big screen coming in.
He made it this time.
And what other ventures have you got involved in, Dougie? Because I know you've done 3D Fight Club.
3D Fight Club.
I know you're an entrepreneur. What other things are you doing?
Well, I've got the Joyce's Irish Whiskey.
Look at this, look. Death before dishonour. I love that. Do you know something? When I saw this being advertised, Dougie, I just thought, what a great idea. Yeah. And how's it gone?
Yeah, it's going good. I've got the date coming in for... Everything's been done now because, it's like I say, it's been people saying, when's it coming? When's it coming? When's it coming? You can't rush the HMRC. Do you know what right. I mean? You can't rush all the people working everything. Everything's been done now. So I reckon I'd say I'm waiting for, not for the launch of that, I'm waiting for the launch of the whiskey to be launched. Right. So we're looking for a place. I don't want to give out too many things at the minute where it's going to be, but if we get it over the line, I'll be happy with that. But the whiskey is more or less here now. That's it. So.
Amazing. So where did that come from?
Talking to my partner that I work with, Carl Long, and we was just one day, was having a few drinks. He said, Dougie, he said, all these drinks going around, this, that, and the other, and you love your whiskey. Why don't you make a whiskey of your own self?
Right.
I said, Carl, I think you're onto something. I said, you've got a good idea. So then we started pursuing it.
Right. Yeah.
And then obviously he was looking to a few things and looking at this, and obviously my back name, Joyce, is a massive name over here in England and also over in Ireland. There's even a place called Joyce Country.
Wow.
Over in Ireland. So it's a no-brainer, and put things together, done a few phone calls, and that's it then. Now we've got a load of stock that's waiting to come over, which hopefully should be here by, I'd say,
Monday. Where is it actually?
It's in the dock as we speak.
No, but where's it made? Where do you actually make it?
The same place, the same distillery as Conor McGregor gets his in Dublin.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Same place, yeah.
So it's not just like any old whiskey, it's an Irish.
It's proper Irish. Double cast as well.
Amazing.
It's not single cast, it's double cast.
Well, it's funny, because I've literally similar conversation.
Yep.
One of my good pals, who I do a few things with, mentioned to me about doing a drinks brand, and we did a vodka brand.
Well, tell the truth now, you got the idea for me, didn't you, Terry?
No, I didn't.
What whiskey,
I was having done a whiskey.
I started before you.
But it's funny.
What I like about it, what's all the different colours with the bottles as well.
Yeah. But do you know what's interesting? Like, you know, I like you, right, I people have their drinks, go-to drinks. I've always been a rum man.
Yeah.
Right? So I would have been gravitated to a rum.
To a rum, yeah.
But the thing is, I've never really been a vodka fan. No. And I've always likened it to drinking paint stripper.
Yeah.
And the only vodka that I've drunk is normally Belvedere or Grey Goose.
Yeah.
And then my mate said to me, he said, I've got this vodka. And he said, it is on that level. He said, I'll just try it. Right? And he had these three samples. One was normal vodka, one was blue raspberry, one was... a pink apple, and I tried it, and I was like, the pink apple tastes like a kid's drink, so you're going to get in trouble with that. You just keep drinking it, and the blue raspberry. So for me, the actual standard vodka is not for me, but I like the sort of flavored vodkas. So I got into that, and again, like the work that goes into it, and for anybody who's thinking of opening up a company and doing their own drinks brand, it's a lot of hard work.
It's not easy.
It's a lot of paperwork.
I didn't realize how hard it was until I got into it. And still, yeah, I'm still going now.
But do you know what? When you get to the end, you actually physically start getting
it's
out
worth
there,
it. I can't wait. I can't wait to do the launch. The launch is going to be happening very soon. Like I say, we're waiting for the date now. So it's there, ready, everything signed off. Amazing. I'm just waiting for the date, the launch. Obviously, you'll be a guest there, Terry.
I'll be coming, mate. I'll be trying it.
You'll be trying the whiskey.
But the thing is, I am a heathen when it comes to whiskey. Lots of purists drink it either neat, on the rocks. I like it with Coke or ginger ale.
Well, I promise you, I'm the same beer, but I can promise you, this here, that's the whiskey I can drink straight.
Right.
With a few blocks of ice on it, drink it straight, because you get ones that'll burn your throat and you say, ooh, it tastes like petrol in your mouth. Right. That there has got a mix in it.
The only whiskey that I've had that I actually really like is Macallan, but you'd like whiskey, right? Do you drink Macallan?
Do you know one of my favourite whiskey drinks? Yeah, it's Johnny Walker's Blue Label.
Right, okay. That's popular as well.
Yeah, it's got a beautiful taste to it, and it's just got that nice, strong taste to it. And that was my favourite drink until that come along.
So basically, your whiskey,
Joyce's
Irish whiskey, right? It's like Johnny Walker, but better.
Yep, 100%.
Right, Ricky.
Like I say, I went through a lot of testing. Yeah, a lot of testing.
Is that what you told the missus? Like, where are you, Dougie? Yeah. Like, I'm testing the whiskey, babe.
She's on the FaceTime to me. She said, are you all right, you? yeah, man, I'm all right, yeah. Like that day, I said, yeah, I'm just doing a bit of testing. I've only gone through about six already. Yeah. So I think it went through about 20 tears to get the right one. Right. I said, that one. I said, that's the one.
Can you drink?
Can I drink? Yeah, I can drink,
right,
yeah.
Right, yeah, because I've always find like if I'm sort of on a fitness thing,
yeah,
and I drink, I always find it sort of knocks me back a day or two. But do you just take it?
I can drink that whiskey, no problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of your exercise regime. Well,
definitely. Yeah. Part of the exercise. I think it runs in the breeders of a whole lot of us.
Right.
But yeah, it's a smooth taste. When you taste it, Terry, you'll have your own opinion on it.
Yeah, I can't.
And I can't wait to taste your Fogger as well.
Yeah. No. Well, we'll have an E10 and a Joyce's Irish whiskey. We have a testing day.
Yeah, testing day, yeah.
A night. You know, what's happening, you know, with, I mean, obviously you've got the documentary out. Surely there's got to be a book in the works, huh?
Well, I've been asked a few times off different authors to do books, but I just never got around the time because I've never had, you know, it's like to have your own self. You find it hard to have time for yourself. One minute you're here, you're there, and then you're getting pulled to do another thing in a different project. But yeah, it will be out there for doing a book. Yeah. I think probably a few more years yet. Right. Every year I'm doing, there's always something even coming.
How old are you now?
35 now.
35. So yeah, so you've got
plenty of years. Yeah.
I mean, I'm 52, so
I think I might listen. We'll get a pencil in now. When I'm 50, on my 50th birthday, we'll start.
Right,
I'm sure I'll have a story then. I can tell you some stories. Jesus.
As you an undefeated bare knuckle fighter, have you got any more fights lined up, Dougie?
Well, I'm getting call-outs right, left and centre, aren't I? I'd say a few people, especially this fella that's obviously got a thing about me, Douglas Doherty. So he's been...
Is he related to Paddy or not? Or is he somebody?
Yeah, he's related to Paddy, yeah. So he's challenging me to fight. He's wanting to fight me again. The thing is with that fella, yeah, he offered me a fight last time. Yeah, he challenged me to a fight. I accepted it, yeah. And the thing is, I'm unbeaten, yeah. All he's ever done is drawed with everybody. I've never seen him beat anybody.
Right.
And every fight he said, don't get me wrong, the fella can have a fight. And well, this is supposed to be a supreme fighter, and everyone had me ruled out to be this person's going to get beat, knocked out. The fella couldn't even, I won't say it for the camera, it couldn't knock something out anyway.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, me and him had a fight, and he couldn't do nothing to me. We both fought to the end. That's it, he got hit with a few hard ones, and then he wanted to call it a draw. Yeah. So all I've ever seen him do is shake hands, call it a draw. So mentally, what I think about this fella is, and it's only obvious, I'm living in the man's head rent-free. Yeah, every time he comes into Manchester and sees that Manchester sign, yes. That's it. It's just like a big sign like that.
Dougie!
Just remove the Manchester, yeah, yes. So every time he comes in, he'll tell you he's thinking of me. And you know what? Yeah, it's his own fault. Don't try and step to the mark. Don't give it the biggin', and don't tell everyone you're going to do a job and do this, that, and the other. Yeah, and go home with your hands in your pocket. That's exactly what I'm.
Do you think he might be on the next show? Do you reckon that rapper there?
I'd fight him on my next show, no problem. But yeah. I wonder how the crowd would go down because I think the whole thing would kick off when I knock him out. But no, me and him, we'll get out. He's challenged me again. The thing is, I'm busy with work, doing what I'm doing, gives his little challenge. The fella's training every day thinking, diggy jazz, diggy jazz. Diggy jazz, sit ups, diggy jazz, diggy jazz. Few skipping, diggy jazz. It's the truth, that's what it's like.
Do you know, I've got an idea. I see you've got your King Joyce. Yeah. Is that a clothing
brand? I'm going to stamp King Joyce in the Douglas's Fort.
I've got another idea. So you've got King Joyce merch.
Yep.
I've got an idea for you.
Go on.
What about Dougie Joyce Chester merch?
Dougie Joyce Chester merch?
As in Manchester, but Dougie Joyce Chester.
Yeah. /8/8 Douglas Doherty. Oh. No, but all jokes aside, he's challenged me.
Right.
I've accepted the fight. I've told him I'll give him a date. Yeah, obviously I'm busy doing what I'm doing. I've got a court case coming up. After the court case, I'll give him a date. Because like I say, I don't like to give people dates if I can't be there, whatever. I always turn up, 100%. So like I say, I'm busy doing my work. I'm up here doing what I'm doing with you, Terry. This is constant everywhere.
Yeah.
So you get his date, you get his fight. But the only way we're fighting is not on a football pitch like you picked last time.
Right.
It's got to be in a small ring. 10-foot, 12-foot ring, I'm easy. Yeah, it's going to be in there, and then we're going to see then who's the better man. After that then, I don't want to hear his name, don't want nothing more to do with him, and he's got his fight. So everything he's doing, he's even sleeping. Even when he goes home to bed and sleeping, yeah, he's thinking of me. He wakes up, he's thinking of me. Do you know what I mean? But that's the best one. Every time he comes into Manchester, he sees the sign, diggy jazz. So don't worry, listen, you're getting your dating, you're getting your baiting.
Brilliant. One thing we haven't really talked about, obviously, Manchester as a city, you know, we used to call it Gunchester.
Yeah.
Right?
And
that's when it was back when it was my cousin, because the gun rate was sky high.
Yeah.
Since he got locked up, the gun rate went down, I think, by
about
85%.
Because I remember doing a, we used to do a brand called Gary's Nation. We did a party at the G-Mix.
Yeah.
And I remember literally being on the door up there, and I saw people walk.
Sorry, I can't help it. Doggy Jazz.
Doggy Jazz.
Manchester, Doggy Jazz.
The Doggy Jazz of me now.
Just remember, Doggy Jazz don't love you.
And I remember being on the door, right, and they got these metal detectors. And this must have been 98, 99. And I remember standing on the door, and I was standing back behind the door, and there's all the security checking people and making them go for the metal detectors.
Yeah.
And I saw a guy walk up to one of the doormen and go like that. And I saw he had a fucking machine gun in his jacket. And the doorman went, no problem, walked him round the metal detector. So I'm going, I'm fucking going. I was like, I'm out of here, do you know what I mean? But yeah. I regularly heard about people, I mean, you know, people were getting shot on a regular basis.
Yeah, of course. Listen, let's say in Manchester, I know a lot of people, got a lot of respect in Manchester. I know a lot of people inside of us that's got a lot of respect for me as well. Everywhere I go into Manchester, I've got most of respect going to the clubs, the bouncers, everything. I know all the firms in Manchester, up and on around the place. It's a mutual agreement. Do you know what I mean? Mutual respect with each other. Like I say, if you don't know nobody, then you might have a problem. If you're just a normal person, you'll have a great night. Carry on, go home, do what you're doing. But obviously, there's people that's got an edge with everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? As long as you're right with them, they're right with you.
Yeah. Because we had a guest on here recently called Bernard Mahoney, and he wrote.
A documentary with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, British Gangsters, The Underworld.
Yeah, so he came on.
You'll see that. Sorry, not stop me talking, Tony. Yeah. You'll see that on there as well with the situation with all the statements. He's got them all off Paddy and all that. He's the first one to come out and done a full documentary on it.
Wow. Yeah, do you know something? I have actually seen that. I watched that online. But he was on it, and he was talking, because he did a book about Paul Massey.
Yeah.
Obviously, he got a lot of stick from various people saying different things, but I mean, obviously you knew Paul.
Yeah, I knew Paul.
What was he like? I mean, was he?
He was a nice fellow. Right. So, do you know what I mean? He had his ways. He'd done what he was doing around the place. If it wasn't for Paul Massey, yeah, my brother would still be in jail now doing IPP. Wow. Yeah, for Paddy. Right. It was Paddy that was in the car with Paul, because he were mates at the time as well. And he said, I'm going to get him jail. Paul made him pull over the motor and get out.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how he went a bit distance. Paul came into the dock, yeah, as a witness for Johnny against Paddy. And then Paddy tried denying that he knew Paul. Right. That's when he calls himself a bad situation.
Right. Yeah. So in Manchester, back then when Paul was alive, there was obviously Paul Massey, there was a Gooch,
yep.
There was Cheetah Mill.
Yep.
And what were the other gangs up there that was?
There's all different ones. There was Dodderton as well.
Right.
Yeah, there's all different mixed views. Like I say, the younger generation now, they've got their own crews and they're all coming up as LSC.
Right.
You know what I mean, there was the Pitbull. Every day, there was all different names back then. Right. You know I mean, a lot wilder than what it is today.
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean?
But has it calmed down a bit now?
Yeah, it was like the Wild West back then. Just didn't give right. a shit. But obviously now there's a lot more things put in place.
Right.
And it's harder to get away now with a murder.
Right. You know
what I mean, so you'll think some a lot. You'll think now before they do it.
So I don't know. I'm doing this from memory, but I seem to remember, was Manchester the like murder capital of England?
Well, at one stage, yeah. That's why I got put down to being right. good in Manchester. Do you know what I mean? There was someone getting murdered every week.
Right.
Well,
wow.
Someone getting shot at, something happening. Let's say there's it was one to say a place. We were living at we was living right in the heart of it on the Anton Estate. Yeah, that was many, many years ago.
What's the what do you think changed? What made the made it change then? Do you think the law enforcement just
They come down heavier, didn't they? And they're taking out the big names, taking out the ringleaders. Let's say once you cut the head off the chicken, yeah,
right.
the snake, whatever the saying is, they drop, don't they? But obviously it'll carry on, but they'll just keep coming in. Once they get one, they'll get two, they'll come here. And that's what they've been doing. They've been putting all the main fellas away. But right. still, a generation will just keep coming through.
I suppose, some of the sentences they're giving out are, they're
30, 40
year sentences.
Yeah, they're never getting out again, are they? No. And if they do, we're going to be an old person to them, aren't they?
Do you know what? This is one thing a friend of mine was, he does a lot of stuff with young offenders.
Yeah.
You know, the like 17, 18 year old kids in London that are getting wrapped up in gun crime and they're, you know, killing people and then they're going to jail and they're getting life sentences.
Yeah.
But their view is that when they come out, they're going to have a rep. And that everyone's going to respect them. But obviously what they don't realise is
by the time they come out of jail, no one's even going to remember them.
Not going to remember them. And the thing is, yeah, what you was then, you're not going to be now. Do you know what I mean? Because your time's already served. There's a lot more bigger, stronger, better people in yourself, a lot more richer people. Let's say you got to go with the times. Mm. And the thing is, don't get me wrong, you'll still be respected amongst your own crowd.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, what advice? I mean, you know, you've obviously been through, been brought up in a travelling community. You've obviously been through a lot of stuff. You've obviously been brought up rough. You've had to learn to fight. You've had to, you know, have that honour, respect. And obviously you expect that, like you said earlier, back. Yeah. If you were talking to somebody now and wanting to guide them or advise them, right, and they would you say to them, look, you know, get involved in business, make money, you know, don't waste your life away.
My advice would be to them, yeah, all the gang stuff, it's over. Right. It's over. Go and get yourself a degree or something that you're good at, right. Something that you can put your hands to and turn to gold. Yeah, like I say, me, I'm a trier. And I'll keep trying until that one clicks in and then that one shoots straight to the top. The thing is, never stop trying. Once you stop trying, you'll never get there. But the thing is, my advice would be to the younger generation, get into the business, get something going for yourself and just keep building. Once you're building on something, it's only going to keep building. Once you're investing into it, it's just going to keep building. Then move on to something else and start building that there. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's what I always learned, because you can always jump from one to the other.
Yeah, I mean, we had a guy... who we interviewed recently on the very podcast, and we were chatting away, and he actually said, you know, the amount of informants that were around on the low level crime stuff. He said, if you enter that arena, whether it's selling drugs, whether it's burgling people's houses, stealing people's watches, whatever it is, he said, there's so many informants, you know, it's only a matter of time before you do actually get caught and go.
It is. Listen, there's that many grasses out there now. It's just not normal. Terry, I'm telling you, listen, it could be your mate, you sat there, and then obviously he's giving information to him that you've got to be very, very careful. That's why you've got to keep your circle tight.
Right.
Doesn't matter how many friends you've got, you could have 100 friends.
Right.
Keep 2-3 good, strong men around you.
It's actually funny, isn't it? Because I've what I've loved about meeting you and being connected with you is, you know, we don't need to speak to each other every day. Yeah. We might only see each other once a month, but it's not like we've been apart. No, do you know what I mean? And I think when you click with people, you don't need to be in their life every day.
No.
How are you? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah.
You don't need to do that to show that you're a friend. Do you know what I mean? You're at the other end of the line, a phone call or a little message. How are you doing, pal? Are you all right? Yeah. Maybe a little check-in here and there. I'm up your neck and all. Do you fancy a curry? But yeah, no, I get it. Them relationships are always the best ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you come and go, do whatever you want. And if you're in the area, you're in the area. If you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think a lot of people, and this is quite a good thing for people to take on board. People sort of, you know, I've had it with people where, you know, people become very sensitive. You know, if you're in a group and they send a message around and you don't respond, they go, why don't you respond to my message? And it's all like, you didn't like my picture on Instagram. You didn't do this, you did that. And you're like, mate, fucking chill the fuck out. Do you know what I mean?
People like that there. Joe, Terry, I've got it all the time. Do you know? People like that there has got too much time on their hands.
Right.
For one, they're obviously not working. Right. Yeah. For two, they're sat at home in a box room. Yeah. Getting stressed and paranoid, thinking, why is he not like my picture? I've liked his picture 10 times. Yeah. I've sent him a message. He's not got back to me. Maybe I've got another 100 messages that I've got to get back to.
It's been 2 minutes.
And if it's an emergency, pick up the phone and ring me. Do you know what I mean? And if you don't get an answer then, that's it, a load of hate mail. Thinking, fucking hell, mate. Hey, do you know what I mean? Relax, calm yourself down. Oh, man, I get it all the time, Terry. Yeah. But it is, yeah, I'm sure you get it yourself plenty of times.
Yeah, no, do you know what?
Terry, you blanking me, Terry. Cheer me pulse, Terry.
Terry, I'm only going to send you one more message saying I love you.
And then, hey, so I've had it where I've got a load of messages off certain individuals. And then probably about 20 messages, probably when they've been out the night before and doing what they're doing, yeah? And then I'll come on to check out all these messages. You've got 20 unread messages. So go on there, and they're all deleted. Thinking, what does that little cunt call me? Probably calling me a load of names. Yeah. Said, you all right? Yeah, sorry, Paul, I was on the piss last night. Yeah, bet you was.
How would you say... Manchester obviously, back in the day was obviously a dangerous place.
Yeah.
And obviously now, like you said, the law enforcement have sort of, cracked down. But What's the sort of major crimes now that are happening in Manchester? Is it similar to London? There's a lot of sort of watch thefts.
I wouldn't even say it's all like crimes to do with shooting all that there, because that's, I mean, it's very rarely now. I reckon it's more down to fraud and thefts, and these fellas up and down under, have you seen them on the little bike, electric bikes with the balaclavas on, going through town and grabbing people's phones and stuff?
Well, here they normally come passing them. They're either dressed up as Uber Eats people.
Yeah.
And they come up to you, go, "You got the time, mate?" And then they pull a knife out. Yeah,
I've seen a few of them flying through. Me and the wife was walking through Manchester town. You see these fellas all masked up. Yeah, and you see they're on the little scooters, the electric ones, on the bikes, and they're coming in a little team, going around for and just like looking for the victims. But it's dangerous as well, like for, like say, the older ones and the younger ones is oblivious to what's going on. Straight past her on the phone, whoop, all of that.
I mean, it is mad though, isn't it? That you know, because in the old days, you know, if you worked hard, you'd celebrate that by buying a watch or by buying a car or by buying some shoes, or, you know, people would reward themselves with these things. And now it's sort of like, well, you might want to reward yourself with that, but if you wear that, you're probably going to fucking get turned
over. It puts people off, like genuine hard-working people, from buying anything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because they get it and think, I'm going to get taxed there for walking through town without blinging off.
Well, I had a story the other day, well, two stories actually, in the last few weeks in London. There was a guy driving through Knightsbridge in a Ferrari with a roof off, and he had a watch on, and he was driving down the road, and his moped came up the side of him with a machete and just went, and then took his watch.
Chopped his hand off?
And he was like, if you'd have asked, I'd have given you the fucking watch, it's insured. Yeah. They just chopped him, and he actually lost his fucking arm. And that was one. And then another guy there's a gym in Knightsbridge. He went into the gym. Someone's obviously seen he's got a nice watch on.
Yeah.
And then waited for him. When he's come out, shot him in the leg and took his watch. I mean, it is fucking insane. I don't know.
Or for a watch. What are you going to get for a rub watch? Do you know what I mean? For one, you're losing half of the value of it.
Right.
Yeah, straight away. You can't go and take it into any jewellers because it's going to flog back up that it's robbed. Yeah. And then they're just going to go and look for a couple of grand here and there. Was it really worth it?
No.
Look at the jail you're going to get over it.
Yeah.
They need to go and get a job, mate.
Yeah.
They'll earn more money.
I just hope that these people that are doing it do it to the wrong person, because they seem to have had a little bit of luck doing it to people that haven't, you know. But I'm sort of waiting for the day when they do it to the wrong person.
Sorry, lad. He's leather jacket on. I saw it off the other side. Hey, what do you want my watch here?
You know, you don't want this, you want this.
Yeah. You won't be long skinned off and white the two. I think you'd be safe in that counter, Zach. Yeah. Definitely.
And obviously, you've travelled around a bit, up and down the country. Where would you say, if you've got any stories where you've gotten any scrapes, or give us one of your crazy Manchester stories, Dougie. You must have one or two.
I've got a few. Inside that town, I've got a few scars to, to prove them as well, especially one from an incident with the wife.
Right.
So the one with the incident and the wife. Won't say where it was like. Right. But anyways, it was in a nightclub.
It was in Brighton, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Brighton. Yeah. That's it, Brighton, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful. So anyways, I'm in there with a few of the boys. We're all out in couples with our wives. And anyways, I walk over to the table, give my wife her a drink. The boys are still at the bar. So I look at my wife and say, "What's up with you?" She's like that there. Him there, he keeps obviously trying to call us over and this, that and the other, and I've told him to fuck off, yeah? So anyways, I've looked at him, yeah? Like, just give him the eyes, like, you know, yeah, she's with me.
Don't do it again.
Yeah? That's it. Don't do it again. So,
She not for you.
Yeah, not
she
for not you. Like, back off. So anyways, I walk back to the bar to go and get some more drinks. So the cheeky cunt is trying it again, aren't he? Like, point over to my wife, come over here with us.
What part of fuck off don't you understand?
Yeah. Well, she's told him, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? Blit into his face, fuck off. So obviously that must have wanted to think, no, I'm the man here. Yeah, so whatever he's thinking, I don't know. So I've come walking back over, and then the wife's told me. So she's told me, I've walked straight over, and I had to ID him. Yeah, I've got a few drinks in my I said, was it him? Yeah, it was him. I've hit him full on flush. Yeah, bang, knocked him out. As I've done that, yeah, three tables. I'm out telling each table, all stood up. I went, got me watch on. Yeah, like that there. I've gone, ooh, yes. I thought, now here's a nice. Here's a nice situation. You've got me in now. I thought, you're dead after here. Got the watch off. Got it. And I mean, stuck in. But they were all dropping like flies, giving it to them. I got a wrap of a bottle straight off the back of my head. Yeah. By the way, the boys are still at the bar having a drink. Yeah.
Thinking nothing's going on.
The wife is like that piping over shouting, get, like, you know, come over and help them. Do you know what I mean? So obviously I'm stuck in. I've got a wrap of a bottle off the back of my head, split the back of my head open. I'm not even known. I just felt like it was just wet. That's the way it felt because it was a big bottle off my head. So anyway, giving it to them, dropping them, banging them. This, I mean, they're dropping like flies. So it's still coming. Do you know what I mean? Like, boys, come on, what's going on?
Carry on, Phil.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what it was. It was like a Wild West. So then the boys has come running over. D was there at the time, yeah. And he's come over. My wife threw a glass, yeah, to like protect me, and she's hit him with a glass. But I look, yeah, nice one, mate. Yeah. So anyway,
he's with us.
Yeah, so he stuck in. Then obviously all the boys come running over, then got stuck in. Like, you know, I think the fight was going on for a good 2 minutes before they even noticed. I said, like, hello, oh, yeah, I'm here. But yeah, that was it was a good night, good fight. So her phone goes missing and running around. We've walked out through the front door. All the police has grabbed us. So I said, what are you doing? I said, they're all bloody nutters in there. Yeah. I'm holding the finger in the back of my head. I said, I'm the victim here. Like that.
Oh, it's right. So weird.
He went, all right. He said, all right, stand there. So I thought, go, you. Yeah. So anyway, back in through the door, me and her, because she's lost her phone. Gone in, spoke to the fellas that I knew, the bouncers. So we've gone out through the back, got in her car, and we're driving back now, nice and slow. And we're looking out the window, all the lads all getting licked. They're all there, hands behind the back. Fuck, you don't know what's going on, bro. Like that, what's happened? All out there, yeah. So I'm beeping on. See you later, lads. Have a good night. But that one, it was funny. It was fun. That was funny. And then we had the cheek to ring up the next day to get the phone back. Got the phone back.
You know, I love that.
That's yeah. Great. And I got a scar on the back of my head about that size.
Right.
Some rapper hit me with that bottle.
Some what?
Fucking cunt. Some rap. Oh, yeah. He hit me a good rap of it. Yeah, one of them big, what do you call it, Belvedere bottles.
All right.
Yeah. You could at least hit me with the middle piece. It would have been a softer hit, wouldn't it? And the bottom of it, the hard piece.
And so that is an entertaining story.
Yeah. And it was like the Wild West, though. But you know, it was funny, though, because as we're outside, all you can hear is bish, bash, boom. I mean, tables going that way, bottles coming over. So I'm looking at the wife thinking, oh, shit, what's happened there? I said, that's what you've caused. I said, are you happy?
It's all your fault.
Yeah, yeah, she got full blame. She got full blame to her. Yeah, and then I went from there, I got a kebab and went home.
Right.
That was a great night. Yeah.
So just to be clear, for anybody who's listening.
Yeah, don't be putting them ones on. Yeah.
Watching the podcast, if you see Dougie Joyce's wife out, do not chat her up. Do not offer to buy a drink. And if Dougie comes over and gives you that look, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Because he won't be loving you. He won't be loving
definitely
you.
Definitely
not. So talking about, obviously, you know, the Joyce family, and obviously, like you said, you know, everybody knows Joyce's family name. And obviously, you know, you're well respected in the traveller community. Have you had any sort of, like, rivalries with where you've sort of clashed ears with people? And it's just gone on and on. Was it the Doherty thing? Was that the main one? Or was there
yeah, that was like the main one to begin with, 2010. Right. That's been going on to now.
Right.
I won't really call it anything special because they've completely got, they're out of Manchester. They live up in Queens Ferry, up in that way. Right. But that's just one of them. See you when I see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was all hot and heavy back then. But as for other families, there's always something going on or something getting said and then having a fight. It's just, it's all stupidness.
So Dougie, I appreciate that you're obviously being an entrepreneur now, got your whiskey, you got your 3D Fight Club, you obviously got other businesses as well.
Yeah.
But do you sort of feel a little bit like that guy in The Sopranos when he says, every time I can't get out, they pull me back in.
That's what it's like. It's like a tow rope on the back of me. So they're pulling me straight back in. But like I say, I am just taking myself away from all that.
Right.
Getting on being a family man.
Yeah.
But you always get the little rats that's trying to pull you back in. Right. Yeah. And that there, I think, is always going to continue unless I prosper and get myself out of Manchester or whatever. Obviously, Manchester's my hometown. But like I say, I'm just trying to get on with my life. Anybody that tries doing anything to step in my way, I'm just going to knock them down. Right. But I'll still carry on doing what I'm doing. I just want to be a family man.
But just to be clear, you will put them in the recovery position?
Yeah, 100% recovery position. Yeah. Definitely because I'm a nice guy.
Dougie Jace is a nice guy.
But yeah, I just want to get on with my life, do my thing, do the best I can for my children and my wife. And that's it. Be left alone.
Yeah.
Amazing. But I reckon that's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. For now. As we say, pub brawls and nightclubs. Me and my brother used to always do what we're doing, fighting all the time. My brother Johnny. you can never get rid of us. It was like this. We'd be out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That was them days back then in Ashton times. We was always fighting with the bouncers, fighting the doormen, fighting this, fighting normal fellas. It was just an always a fight. You go down there, have a drink, have a fight.
That's where the fight club come from, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you. But anyway, there was this particular night we got in there and these fellas come from, I won't say no names or bring anyone into it, but came in, doing what they're doing, try taking over the show. We're there, two big strong men doing what we're doing. I'm thinking, we're not going to be talking, we're not people talk to us and like shit and tell us what to do. It's not going to happen. Definitely not in our manner. So anyways, cut a story short, me and my brother switched, started giving it to them, started giving it to the bouncers, giving it to the ones who was getting in the way of it. And then it escalated from there to something a lot bigger. So then obviously there was a bit of a hit or whatever going to be on us. And I remember I had a brand new Honda Type R at the time when they first come out.
Right.
That was the car back then, 57 plate, but they were the car back then. So anyway, pulled up outside, there with the boys. There was four of us in my car driving through. But as we're coming through, we're talking to the bouncer, what's going on. So anyway, cut a story short, as we're driving out, we're driving around. And as we go out of Ashton, we're driving, this car's following us. Yeah, the same kind of car. Yeah, but an older model, yeah? So flying in, I said, that car's following us, boys. It's following us. And he's like, nah, you just be part. I said, listen, I know. Yeah, no, you just know, you know. So I said, I'll test it, going through the lights. And then I knew they'd have to wait at the red lights, but they've gone through the red lights. I said, here we go. So I pulled up at the lights like this, and this car's pulled right beside us. And he's gone, Dougie, like that there. So my mate in the passenger, he said, look who it is. The same fellas that we give it to, yeah? They've gone like that there, leaned straight over with the gun, like that there, and just boom, let it rip. So we're that close from here to there, yeah? Obviously, my mate was in the passenger seat. Obviously, they're not used to any of this. He shit himself, duck, just missed him, right? Yeah? All the pellets is going for the door, yeah? Me, obviously, got like a little lever on the right, yeah? Just pulled the lever, yeah? Just like it was normal. Do you know what I mean? Whoop, come back, back up again. As you come there, wallop, have that there with the car, yeah? Right. So done like a full reverse swing. But the police was watching this, by the way. Police on the other side of the road watching this whole thing happen.
Wow.
Yeah, so turn around, we're flying on down the road, and this car's trying to come up with us. The other ones in the back are screaming, they're gonna kill. I said, shut up, what is? No worry, this is high pursuit now. And this is genuine, this is the truth. This. So we're flying on down. I even slowed down for the speed camera. Yeah, I said, my father's gonna kill me if I get a speeding ticket. He said they're gonna kill us.
See, even when your life's in danger, you're still worried about breaking
the law. I slowed down for a speed ticket, yeah, because I had it all in my father's name. I said he's gonna kill me. I'm only young at this time, I'm only like how old is I think I was about 19, 20.
Right. Right.
Do you know what I mean? I was only young, I was only a pup. So anyway, we're flying down. I made a few phone calls to the boys. I had everybody on standby. And as they're pulling out, I said, go, keep following me, waving them to follow me, because I want them to follow me to a dead end. If they did, it would have been the end of them. Yeah, and then they got onto it. So I drove myself down to a place into a dead end, but I had everyone waiting. And then they've got there, boom, and then they went that way. They went. So if they really wanted to do the job, they would have done a job. Well, I was going to do a job on them.
Right.
Well, anyways, we're all friends now.
Yeah, that's good.
That's just another story for the books. But yeah, it was funny. It was.
And what would you say? I mean, yeah, obviously, you watch a lot of. I know you love your movies.
Yeah.
And what are your favourite films that, you know, if are you sort of do you like watching the crime movies?
I love watching them all. I'm not just saying it because obviously you do it all day with the Rise of the Foot Soldiers, but every one of them's come on from the day one up to now. I love every one of them.
Amazing.
Every one of them, Terry. And listen, fair play to you.
Thank you, Danny.
It's a credit to you. Yeah. Every one of your movies, even when she's at home, like, what are you watching all these things for? Because it's not just yours. Like, it'd be all like different, not to do with crimes, criminal things, and this, that, the other. You're always watching all this fucking shit. I want to watch a movie. I said, shh. This is Terry's new movie. You can't speak. So then, what is it? Yeah, it was The Heist. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the last
I said, he's made another one. I said, I've got to watch this. So then she sat down. She went, oh, it's all right, this. Yeah. I said, I told you it's not that bad, didn't I? And then I've got my other little daughter in the corner watching. Oh, Dad, I love this. I said, I told you it's a good movie, but that was a good one. Because it was weird to begin with.
Because we do struggle in getting a female audience, Dougie. So I appreciate you bringing the girls in.
No, listen, trust me. I have a little girl there watching. She's my partner when I watch a movie. It's this one. No, I need to forget about it.
What does Holly like watching then?
She's not too bad, but all she likes is watching horrors.
Right, okay.
I love stories, yeah.
Do you know something? A lot of shit. Do you know something? It's actually quite funny. My missus always says to me, when are you going to make a nice film? Why can't you do like a rom-com? I said, yeah, but you wouldn't like that then, babe. Because
likes the action.
I'd end up being with another woman and falling in love. And I said, then you wouldn't like that either. So I said, I can't win.
I've actually said, stick to the fucking action movies.
Yeah, she said, no, she said, just keep being a gangster. Put that silly wig on and just call people a cunt, you know. So.
No, but they are like, what's that? They are, definitely top 10 movies. The Rise of the Foot Soldiers,
100%. Thank you.
But yeah, I love All Them Pillars, man.
Amazing.
Credit to you.
Amazing. And, I mean, I know they've done quite a few sort of traveller shows. I know they did, you know, Homeward Furies on Netflix. Brilliant.
As soon as I put it on, I was watching the full thing all the way through because, you know, it's something you can just keep watching.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he's not far from you, Tyson, is he? So you obviously know the family.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was good. There was obviously absolutely Ascot. There was the Gypsy Wedding programme.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been all these different shows. But I can only remember one movie. I think it was called Big Fat Gypsy Gangster or something like that. But it was...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're on about. Cardboard Gangsters or something, whatever.
Something like that. And I think it had Ricky Grover in it.
Is it the one that was recorded over in Ireland?
Do you know what? I'm not sure, but I remember reading about it.
Yeah, I think it might be, yeah.
But I'm actually surprised that there's never been... Because obviously in the travelling communities, there are... Yeah. It's the Brent Walker that they're a notorious group, aren't they? From whereabouts in London, is it Brent Park?
Yeah, Brent Park. Yeah,
yeah.
Good mate of mine. Yeah,
yeah. And there's I'm surprised there's never been a proper movie made.
You never
about
know, Terry. You might be onto something.
Well, that's why.
You might be onto something.
That's why I want to speak to Dougie. We've got to try and do it. We've got to try and do it because I genuinely think there's so much interest because when I grew up, you know, you meet somebody and the only reason I become friends with the traveller community was because when I went to the boxing club, which was Les Stevens Boxing Club, who's now dead, God rest his soul, but I went down because I wanted to learn to fight and I walked in the club and I didn't know it was a traveller's boxing club. So I walked in and I said, you know, I want to join, blah, blah. He said, I think you're in the wrong place, mate. Like, because outside there's all these like mobile homes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, it's a boxing club, isn't it? And he went, yeah. He goes, it is. And I said, well, why can't I? He says, because you're a Gorger. I said, what's a fucking Gorger? And he was like, you mush, right? And I was like, okay, but I just want to learn. I don't mind fighting anyone in here, right? So he sort of laughed. Yeah. And he went, all right, we'll get you in the ring then. And obviously, you know, I got a fucking clump of one of these geezers. And then I learned to box. And I remember like having my first fight and for a laugh, I went out and bought some Stars and Stripes. Yeah. Yeah, like the Rocky flag is yours. And he said, oh, you know, you're on next, right? So I come in with a...
Get all ready with
he
yourself.
He looked at me and he was like, what are you doing with these shorts, right? And he said, you better not fucking lose, right? Yeah. You can't wear them shorts. And it was actually quite funny because all the travellers were like, yeah, Joe boy, and all that. And when I won, it was all like throwing money at me.
Yeah.
And I sort of become really good friends with a lot of travellers from there. Locally, sort of Bracknell. And then throughout the years, obviously, I've become good friends with Alfie Best, good friends with you. And then obviously, with all these programs that have been on television, I think what it's done is it's opened up the traveling community to the world.
Yep.
And I think what the traveling community, from my sort of eyes and experiences, it's all about family, it's all about honor, it's all about respect, it's all about doing the right thing, you know, getting married, having your kids. And obviously making money. And a lot of people, you know, back in the day, I suppose it's a little bit like in the 70s when I grew up, you know, if you wasn't English, right, you was like, who's this? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And I think where nobody actually sort of explained, you know, no, exactly. Everybody was sort of ignorant. But I think what these programs have done, I think it's opened up people's eyes. And that's why I think doing an actual movie, I mean, obviously... I think what would be good is if it was, from my perspective, a travelling gangster movie, right? Because obviously that's what I'd like to make. But I think you've had the weddings, you've had the reality shows.
But there's never been one of them.
No, but that's why I think, you know, we...
And you could have a lot of real scenes in there.
Yeah.
Like, well, fiction.
What we do is
whatever way you want to put it.
What we do, we make up the stories.
Yeah.
And we change the names to protect the guilty.
That's it. But you know, you can have a lot of like scenes in there from like, you know, based on a true story.
Yeah. But also the other thing is a lot of the things that have gone on, I know that people don't talk about. So to have an inside track into that world and then be able to actually bring it to the masses. And I think
you're onto something.
I think people will be.
They'll be interested. They'll be very interested. 100%. Yeah.
Well, we should come up with some. That's another string to the bow, Dougie.
That's all it is. Well, listen, that's something that we can talk about.
Yeah? No, we should definitely do that.
Because it'd be a good seller.
Yeah.
Everyone likes the inside.
Look, you did a documentary. It was number one on Amazon.
Straight away, 24 hours. Everybody got to be interested, don't they?
Yeah, so you do a movie, you know, and whether it's about you or it's about a fictional family, that does these things and works in this world. And you know, I think we should definitely
sit down and talk about it. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
That'll do.
We're good.
Yeah, that'll do. 100%. I'll make it number one in 24 hours.
See, but, so we've talked about whiskey. We've talked about everything, really. We're making a movie.
Yeah.
You're going to do a book. What are your plans for the future, Dougie? What you got on? I mean, you've obviously got a lot on, but have you got anything else that you're thinking about or that you want to achieve?
Do you know, my brain goes all the time, nonstop. I'm involved with a company called Reset as well. Right. Reset, which is a hangover company. So like no more hangovers.
Okay.
So you drink the whiskey, you have a bottle of hangover, Reset.
Do you know something? You could do that for Christmas. I see the gift box, the whiskey and the Reset.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. Do you know what? It'd be good because I'll join them in and give them out as gifts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, amazing.
Because that Reset's good stuff. It's been launched already in Cyprus and it'll be getting launched over
there. So what does it actually do?
It just, when you've been out drinking, before you go to bed, neck one of them back. Yeah, once you wake up in the morning, no hangover.
Right.
Brand new, ready to go again. You'll end up an alcoholic off the Joyce's whiskey.
I'll have to get some. Every time we have a premiere, I need a couple of them.
So yeah, no, it's good. So anyone that wants to check it out, it's on. Obviously, it's launched now as it is. Reset. Yeah.
Amazing.
I was also, even when I was in jail, I was the fittest prisoner in the jail. Of course, I beat the Jim Screws, the Jim Audleys. Yeah, 6 months running.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I went there, unfit, broke up, just fucking having it rough. Do you know what I mean? I went through a lot of shit. Went to jail and just completely switched on. Every circuit, every training I'd done, everything I'd done inside that place, I ended up coming. I was overlapping the gym prisoners, the prisoners inside the jail, and then the gym screws, gym orderlies, they were the fittest. I ended up smashing them. 6 months on the run, beat every single one of them. And then me and one of the proper screws, gym screw, from the outside, was going to have it. Yeah, but obviously I gave him a few things. I said, that's what I want if I win. I said, because I'm going to win. Yeah. I said, if I lose, I'll do that. And then the last minute he backed out, he won't have it. Because I want a bit more extra freedom, you see.
Oh, right,
right. Yeah. And he knew, he said, nah, too dodgy, Doug. He said, stick to the circuits. But yeah, I got on with all them, good screws.
With the fitness stuff, have you always been in the fitness?
Also, I love all the circuit training. Circuit training, you know what I mean? I like all that kind of CrossFit kind of training.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything to do with the running, just to always keep yourself active.
Yeah.
Like I say, the boxing, I don't need to learn how to fight. All you got to do is sharpen up your tools.
Right.
But yeah, just the fitness is for me. Once I got the fitness and your fitness is there, you keep it there.
And with your, what weight do you fight at? What are you in kilos?
I'd say I'm always around, my fighting weight is a good 50 and a half stone.
Right, okay. So you're like a cruiser?
Heavyweight, that'd be.
Oh, heavyweight. Like, yeah,
well, right. In the thing, you'd be heavyweight, 50 and a half, 16 stone. But like I say, when I'm super fit and I'm right down to being super fit, where there's not a pick on me, it's like 40 and a half stone.
Wow.
But I like to be super fit at 50 and a half stone.
Okay, I'm the same weight as you, but you look better than me. I'm going to have to take some, I'm going to have to come up to the gym. You have to give me some tips, mate.
Like, what are you at, 50 and a half?
50 and a half, yeah.
Yeah? Get into the gym with me, Terry.
Yeah. I'll be 13 stone before you know.
Listen, I'll roast you and I'll tell you, come back here, new man. Babe, we're going shopping and need new wardrobe.
I'll be crying. I'll be like, fucking hell.
You won't be walking, you'll be crawling up the gym. Tore rope on the back of Terry, pulling the back in.
What is wrong with you, babe? I've just had this workout with Dougie and he made me do all these press ups.
I see that you do well, though. I see you do all your personal training.
Yeah. To be honest, I've got a mate of mine who's a trainer, and I do a couple of days with him. And obviously, when you get to my age, I know I'm sounding like an old man, but 52, you don't really want to be running on the concrete and doing loads of stuff outside. So what I tend to do is I do the cardio on the treadmill do some weights and do a bit of pad work.
Believe it or not, yeah, the swimming's very good for you.
I always find it fucking boring.
Yeah, it's boring, but you know, once you put it into it and you're proper putting yourself in and racing your own self, trying to go as fast as you can, see how many back and forth you can do.
Do you know what the problem I've got is? I'm not a very good swimmer, so I do like the doggy paddle and this weird thing when you go like that.
Stick your armbands on.
And you've got some armbands.
Yeah.
Put it on TikTok, you get a million views.
Oh, I'm telling you, listen, you smash it on that, couldn't you? Put your little waist on and dungaree jump.
You must have a couple of jokes, Dougie, as well, because you're a funny guy. You must have a couple of jokes. A
couple of jokes. Right, here's one for you. Right. What's the difference, between a JCB and a giraffe?
I've no clue.
A JCB has hydraulics and a giraffe has high bollocks. It's a good little...
That is good. I've not heard that joke. You got another one? You got another one? These are going in the trailer, Dougie, these jokes.
Fuck you, that way. He'd be sitting there writing them down. Oh, mate, fucking.
Yeah, I began having something. My missus would be going, "You're just so funny. You become so funny all of a sudden." I said, "But that's something hanging out with Daniel. Yeah. Give me some material."
Hey, he'd be like that. Hey, pull out his little pad. What's that one again? Right, babe, I've got one for you. I'll send some over to you. Like, okay. Do you not want to get put on me? I can't think of them.
So how long have you been with Holly?
It's got to be 4 years now.
Wow. And how did you two meet?
Well, we've been chatting on social media on and off for a while, trying to talk. And I said, "Come on, let me take you out. I'll take you out for some food." And then she's playing hard to get, but she was like, "She works for Jet 2, manager of Jet 2." Right. So I'm busy on the flights. I'm doing this, that, and the other. I thought, "I'll get you." I thought, "I just got to take my time with this one." And then finally, yeah, because they were off work, whatever happened, I got on the right day. So right, let's meet up. And then the first time I met her in San Carlos. Sat there at the bar, yeah, thinking. Roni, thought she's taking the piss out. And that said, she stood me up. Yeah. So, all of a sudden, ringing the phone, nothing's going through, straight through the voicemail, and there comes these two little legs walking over, and I remember it like yesterday, in that little PVC nude dress, little white blouse, and a little of boots. I said, "She's mine."
Mine.
So, we're having a bit of food, and now imagine this for a first date, yeah? So we're having our food, this, that, and the other. She's being a lady, eating her steak and this, that, and the other. I'm eating my food. Mine's already smashed. Yeah, I don't give a shit, mate. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Yeah.
So anyways, you're ordering the dessert. So I said,
"Babe, I said, eating that steak." "Oh, no, I'm not going to this, that, and the other." She's going to tell her, "Come back, the steak was gone." I said, "Well, you said you didn't want it, didn't you?" I said, "I'll get you dessert, babe. Don't worry, a bit of pistachio cake." And that was our first meeting. And ever since then, that's it.
That's a great story. Yeah. The San Carlos is amazing, though.
Yeah, I love San Carlos. I live in the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but little girls, every time they go, they go, Sangos. Little minions running in. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Dougie, I've really enjoyed having you on the show, mate.
It's been
really good fun. We've had a great chat. And I wish you all the luck in the world with your whiskey.
Thank you,
3D Terry. Fight Club. And if you do the Dougie Joyce Chester clothing, don't forget. I come up with your
just
idea.
Remember the Manchester side. Dougie Jess.
Perfect, Dougie.
Terry, no absolute gentleman. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning into the Criminal Connection podcast. Dougie Joyce, what a legend. What a great guest. We hope you've enjoyed listening to his stories. Make sure you tune in next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And we've got some more exciting guests lined up. See you next week.
And just remember, Dougie Jess lives here.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.